This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, December 18th, 2024. 1 week until Christmas Day. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, by podcast, or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you know where your shovel is? Do you know if the snowblower is ready to go? Because we've been so spoiled lately, and that spoilage is about to come to an end starting tomorrow morning for a wide swath of Wisconsin, moving from northwest Wisconsin down into the central parts of the state, and certainly beyond 3 inches, maybe some locally heavier spots as well. And so real winter finally arrives, almost in time for the first day of winter. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot will have an updated, detailed forecast for us coming up in about an hour. Coming up on the program today, we're going to have this week's climate check. Melissa Baldoff will tell us about a big solar energy project planned for central Wisconsin. And we'll talk about all the little solar energy projects going up on rooftops throughout one part of the Milwaukee metro where solar panels really seem to have caught on. In our second hour, we will talk to some of the stars of Wisconsin education, starting with Amy Starzecki. She's the district administrator for the Superior School District, who, since our last visit, has been named the new Wisconsin Superintendent of the Year. So we will discuss the challenges of running a school district in this current climate. And we'll have another chat with Kate Ullman of the Wisconsin Civic Learning Coalition about the future of teaching civics in Wisconsin classrooms when it is more important than ever that the students of today learn the basics of how government functions before they become the voters of tomorrow. Read into that whatever you will. Temperatures at 6 a.m. across the state, pretty mild, going to get colder after the snow goes through. It's 22 here in Chippewa Falls right now, 20 in Hayward, 22 in Amory. Wausau's at 27 degrees, La Crosse 28. In Wisconsin Rapids, it is 26 right now, Green Bay's at 31, Madison at 27, Waukesha at 25, and in Radio Park in Racine, it is 30 degrees where we welcome in Greg Bach so that we can share the joy together in the news that the Milwaukee Bucks are your 2024 NBA in-season tournament Emirates Cup champions!
It's an especially long one today because they won.
Because they won, yeah. That's the whole ticker tape parade afterwards. There's crying babies. There's just everything. Wow. And it's done. We're back to the regular season of the NBA.
But I like that it ends with circus music.
It seems appropriate. Here's the best part about the in-season tournament being done. First off, there won't be the mockery that you're used to hearing on the radio. But perhaps more importantly, those garish to ghoulish colored floors that they play on for the tournament are gone. I mean, I just
garish.
Here's Grandpa's gonna tell you, I just want a hardwood floor. I don't need it to be neon blue. I don't need it to, you know, want me to, you know, peel my cornea back or anything. It's just enough. Just give me a floor. Just a floor.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
I don't need it to look like, you know, Picasso had some stomach indigestion, if you know
what
I mean.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's getting saying, artistically gross.
Not a fan. And again, I'm first to admit, I'm not the target audience. So go ahead and ignore me.
Do you know who is?
Who?
Luke Mathers, who's just sent me a very expressive gif of Giannis being very excited.
I'm sure he is extremely excited about this. And again, for all Bucks fans, this is nice. Oh, yep, there it is. Oh, yeah, look at him flexing. Yes.
Does he? But do they get anything? Do they, like, is it helpful?
Oh, let me tell you.
Oh, sure.
I'll tell you that first off, this particular game only counted for the tournament. This particular game did not count in the regular season statistics.
Ah,
but
great.
But what does count is the money.
Oh.
Players getting around, you know, depending on the winning team or the losing team. But you're talking about $300,000 in additional bonus money. Not for the whole team, per player. Members of the winning team get $514,971 apiece. I don't know how they came up with that weirdly specific sum. The players on the Oklahoma City Thunder got $205,988 each. For Giannis, his NBA contracts, just the stuff on the court, his current NBA contracts add up to $460 million, okay? He's the first to tell you he now has generational wealth, but he understood, and a lot of the veterans talked about how for the younger players on all these teams, you know, that's still a fair chunk of change to play for. So there's your answer. Doesn't count in the standings, but sure does count in the checkbook.
Oh yeah, it sounds.
And look, for the Bucks who started off 2-8, okay. And again, this wasn't part of the official season, but last night's win over Oklahoma City, 97-81, was their 13th win in the last 16 games. So I guess they have found their groove.
Congratulations, gentlemen. Congratulations, the Bucks. Congratulations on your piles and piles of money.
That's it. Giannis had 26 points. Damian Lillard, 23 points. The Bucks, by the way, connected on 17 three-pointers. And that part, you know, we've talked before. I'm not the world's biggest three-pointer fan. It's such a hot and cold thing where the whole team is either, like, on fire or it's like clang, 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 which has got to, you know, that's like when your field goal kicker misses the third field goal in a row and you just want to be like, stop, stop, please stop trying this, you know?
How many were attempted, though? Because if they attempted 1,000, then that's not a very good percentage.
You know what? You're right. That's a good point. I don't have the box score in front of me. So there. But the fact that they sunk 17 of them and was noted that way in the Associated Press story tells me it's probably a good thing.
All right.
So there you go. That's
congratulations, that Bucks fans, on your cups.
Yes. Congratulations indeed. Let's see. We want to tell you that in less than an hour now, we will be doing one more edition of our grown-up gift list text to win contest. It runs through the rest of this week where you will get a keyword to text into us for some grown-up grand prizes. You can sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Among the articles today, where are Wisconsin's great Christmas light shows? And there's all kinds of good ones. In fact, while I've got a big old list in front of me, maybe you would like to care to share, you know, your own hometown favorite or a favorite that you've been to. For example, there's the Botanical Gardens in Green Bay. There's Riverside Park in La Crosse. Of course, right here in Chippewa Falls, Irvine Park looks amazing when they decorate that up with all of the holiday lights. So if you have a favorite that you want to talk up and say, you know, you guys got to come to my town and see these holiday lights, you can call us or you can text us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't forget to use that Civic Media app if you'd like to text or call us, or put something in the comment section of either the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, or the Civic Media Facebook page. We'd love to see what you've got to say there. Now, a reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network that includes news and analysis from 11 different state outlets, plus our national team. Read more about that at couriernewsroom.com. all kinds of links there to various podcasts and merchandise and newsletters, including one from Melissa Ryan called Control Alt Right Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And one of the recent newsletters includes an end-of-the-year reading list of 2024's best books to read or reread between now and Inauguration Day. And again, that's just one of several. We talk to Mark Jacob every Friday, who has his own Stop the Presses newsletter that you can find there. Go to couriernewsroom.com and scroll down the page to newsletters to learn more. A little entertainment note that I wanted to ask Mr. Bach about. It's that the National Film Registry has put together its newest list of films going into Live Forever in terms of telling the world this is what culture looked like during the period the film was made in. And the National Film Registry has added Dirty Dancing and Beverly Hills Cop and Up in Smoke among the movies entering the National Film Registry.
What was that third one? You cut out a little bit.
Oh, Up in Smoke, Cheech and Chong. Right? So, I mean, look, it's Cheech and Chong is going in with the same class as Pride of the Yankees, the 1942 tearjerker with Gary Cooper playing Lou Gehrig, The Miracle Worker with Anne Bancroft, who played Helen Keller, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, with Ricardo Montalban going, Khan! You've got, let's see, American Me from 1992, No Country for Old Men,
okay,
is getting in there as well. So these are all films that are going into the National Film Registry, a group of an annual group of 25 films. All of this year span 115 years of filmmaking to give people. The Library of Congress selects these movies. Here's the description. Since 1988, the Librarian of Congress has annually selected movies for preservation that are culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. The current picks bring the registry to 900 films. And Turner Classic Movies will host a TV special today screening a selection of the class of 2024. So there you go. Nobody puts Baby in the corner, but you can put Baby in the National Film Registry since Dirty Dancing is going to be there now.
With a big old doobie.
From Cheech and Chong, yeah. Exactly. So I'm just laughing. Yeah. The Cheech and Chong one is just funny.
I love that. God bless those two men.
Yep, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a pause here because then I've got to talk about whether or not you heard about the fake electors meeting at the state capitol. Oh, you didn't? Oh, there's a reason for that. We'll talk about it next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, we got the snow coming, and now Kelly Clarkson is singing. It's definitely the holiday season now, so I feel a lot better. Kelly has nothing to do with today's history lesson. It's just the day for seasonal music, but we'll have today's history lesson coming up just a quick 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. Greg, did you hear about the fake electors who met at the state capitol yesterday?
No, Pat, I did not hear about the fake electors who met in Madison yesterday.
Oh, you know why you didn't hear about them?
Why?
It didn't happen. There weren't any fake electors meeting at the state capitol yesterday, just the real ones. Isn't that crazy?
But wait a minute, Pat. My uncle sent me an email that said forward. Do you see what Biden's trying to do with our elections now?
Yeah. Look, here's the way it's written up in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Laura Schulte is a great reporter. I'm not finding fault with her, but I'm going to take issue with a turn of a phrase here that you'll hear in just a second. It starts with, "What a difference 4 years make." Wisconsin's 10 Electoral College votes were cast Tuesday afternoon without fanfare for Donald Trump and running mate J.D. Vance, 4 years after a slate of fake electors signed paperwork falsely claiming Trump won the 2020 election in Wisconsin, setting the stage for a national debate over election denialism. No. No, no, it wasn't setting the stage for a national debate over election denialism. It was an attempt to steal an election by saying he's trying to steal the election as they tried to steal the election. And we're still framing it as a national debate. After dozens of court cases and zero still to this day. Zero evidence of anything untoward on any kind of a scale that could tilt an election, that we still are framing this as some kind of a national debate over election denialism is just a crime from the standpoint of how our media communicated the age of Trump to the voters. That's me putting it in words I can use on the radio.
I think that the 4 years ago, the media was fervent to report on all of these attempts to overthrow our democracy. I think they were as shocked as we were. I think they were as eager to put the truth out there or report what was happening. And the truth was, as you mentioned, dozens of court cases proved this was not a stolen election, yet people did try to overthrow our democracy through fake elector schemes. And now what I think what's happened is that it's 4 years later, they've talked about it so much, and they almost want to say something to the effect of, well, there's two sides to the story, if you will. No, there isn't. There isn't. One side. Right. They tried to steal the election, period. That's it. Done. Don't give him leeway.
Here's the framing offered by one of the electors, former governor Tommy Thompson, who was asked about the 2020 elector scandal. And here's his quote. "Isn't it about time to turn the page? I mean, we can fight over the election of 2020 for the next 4 years. What does it get us? Isn't it about time to say, you know, we've had a lot of differences. This is the time to start trying to mend ways and solving America's problems, Wisconsin's problems." No kidding. No kidding. Because you know what? The guy that won 4 years ago also was looking to solve America's problems and Wisconsin's problems, but was endlessly hampered by the big lie. Because it wasn't, to be blunt, it wasn't properly called a lie by nearly enough newsrooms in this country who, for whatever reason, wanted to play it safe or wanted to protect their access to Trump and Republicans, who had the tables been turned, would have called out somebody like a Hillary Clinton in a heartbeat.
Oh,
if she tried to make the assertions of the past 4 years with zero evidence. I try not to be disgusted when talking about things like this, but when I hear a quote like that and the way that this is still being framed as a national debate over election denialism, you get right to the root at, you know, where many people's frustrations are with American democracy and media in the year 2024.
I don't disagree with you, and it's something we've talked about on Jane's show many, many times, is this inherent and now almost immovable double standard of, well, the GOP, they have their points. Whereas if a Hillary supporter would have tried anything, it'd have been a 10-day story on Fox News. It would have been, this is the end of our democracy. It is one guy in Georgia tried to cast two ballots. That's it. We're done. Hillary's a thief. Hillary's a crook.
Yeah. Oh, they'll take the smallest morsel of something, you know, like 10 or so or 10 trans athletes among 50,000, yeah, you know, nationwide, and turn that into a national scandal because they've got the media ecosystem to amplify something and do something with it. And enough people hear only that, and they tend to believe it. And that to me is, you know, leads to this thing about turning the page on the 2020 election. I just want to make sure I say this in, you know, direct possible terms. Oh, hell no. No. You had a couple of Trump attorneys who were in court because the Wisconsin Department of Justice is charging them with felony forgery, I think it is, for trying to dupe Wisconsin's fake electors. The fake electors in other states are actually facing the possibility of criminal penalties. And while Trump may have been able to, you know, persuade enough people to vote for him again and can therefore pardon a lot of things at the federal level, I hope everybody with a conscience and a sense of justice at the state level does not take their foot off the gas, because this ain't over. Nobody should try to steal an American election the way these people did and then get away with it. And they will if you just say, time to turn the page. No way.
Yeah. Agreed. I 100% agree.
Yeah. So that's why you didn't hear about fake electors at the Capitol yesterday. There weren't any. The side that lost, as is supposed to happen in a democracy, says, okay, we lost. It's not going to be fun for the next few years, but we accept what the voters had to say, and we gear up for the next run. That's how to do it the right way. And frankly, that should be rewarded a little more often. Melissa Baldoff is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning. 6:34 is the time right now. And again, a reminder that in just over a half hour, the latest keyword in the grown-up gift list text win contest. But first, in our climate check this week with Melissa Baldoff, a reminder, the sun still shines. It still works with all those solar panels, and those panels are going up like never before around Wisconsin. Melissa Baldoff, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. And like you said, it is an exciting time. And, you know, we are still getting the benefit of the sun, even if we don't see it quite as often as we want to this time of year.
Yes, it's nice to see it, and it's nice to know the benefits that it brings. Fact of the matter is, there is still so much opportunity here for solar energy in Wisconsin. And in fact, based on reporting from Joe Schulz over at Wisconsin Public Radio, state regulators have paved the way for the largest solar energy project in state history, enough to power more than 200,000 homes. It's being built on 6,000 acres in Portage County. It's called the Vista Sands Solar Project. And Melissa, I think this is just a sign of what else is going to come in terms of solar, you know, bigger and better.
Exactly. You know, this is a really exciting moment for Wisconsin to know that. We've talked a lot about, you know, what we need in order to achieve our goals of reducing our carbon emissions and getting to net zero. And we need to greatly expand our solar energy capabilities and greatly expand our wind. And, you know, this is one of the ways we're going to get there, is by having some of these large scale solar project. And we know it's also going to create a number of jobs during construction. So what they're estimating is about 500 jobs during construction in addition to some permanent jobs. So it's going to be really beneficial, really impactful in terms of environmental benefits, but also some economic benefits, you know, in the short term. And then, of course, we know in the long term as well, you know, for the, you know, utility payments in Portage County, for the municipalities hosting the site, you know, this is just going to be a really beneficial project all around.
It's also worth noting that this thing isn't just generating 1,300 megawatts when it's all said and done, but will also include 300 megawatts of battery storage, which again gets us back to that reliability when we're off peak in terms of sunshine. The chair of the Public Service Commission, Summer Strand, said the battery storage component would allow the project to improve reliability, you know, no matter what the conditions are out there. This whole thing is valued, it's basically going to be a $2 billion project when all is said and done, looking to begin construction by early 2026 and complete the project in about 2 to 3 years. Like you said, it really does get us, you know, that much closer to, you know, relying so very little on fossil fuels.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the other things, you know, seeing in this great reporting from Wisconsin Public Radio is that, you know, in a report filed with the Public Service Commission earlier in the year, this project would offset more than 1.6 million metric tons of carbon dioxide released in the air, you know, in just the first year of operation. And then we're seeing also from our friends at Clean Wisconsin that this project would have an additional benefit of not just that reduction in, you know, air pollution by offsetting those carbon emissions, but it would have some water benefits as well, because it would reduce contamination in the region and boost aquifer levels. So that would, it says, expect to take 56 high capacity wells out of normal operation and reduce the amount of fertilizer and insecticide used in the area. So the fact that, you know, we're going to, you know, you get the known benefit that you're expecting when you hear about solar, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is going to have this great benefit of, you know, taking fossil fuels out of the mix here and reducing carbon emissions. And then to also find out this is going to have a benefit of reducing contamination in our water, you know, it just sounds like this is really just one of those no-brainers.
It's just a big number to take 56 high capacity wells out of normal operation is just going to be so good for the aquifer level in that area as well. So that's the big project that's being planned for central Wisconsin that we'll watch. Now let's take it down to the home level, because the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had some reporting recently about how the North Shore of Milwaukee has become a hotbed for solar installation around that region. We can now find more homeowners saying, okay, now I can get some assistance putting these solar panels up that I've thought about for a long time.
Yeah, and though I think what's really cool though is there is kind of this ripple effect, and that's one of the things that I think you see in this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is people are increasingly likely to install solar when they see their neighbors doing so, when they, you know, learn directly from someone they know about what the benefits are and about how easy the process was. You know, oh, you worked with this great contractor and you got, you know, you're applying for a rebate and you're saving money, and oh, your energy bills are lower, and that, oh, and it doesn't make your house, you know, it looks good on the house, right? So then there's this ripple effect that they're inspired. They think this sounds great. And so this, you know, this is right in my neck of the woods. And so we're seeing a lot of folks, in the North Shore communities around the Milwaukee area, you know, homeowners, businesses, local governments alike, choosing to go solar. more and more. It's really an industry that is blossoming. I will address too, you know, it is largely an area where there are more folks who have the resources to make that upfront investment. So I don't want to ignore that that is a benefit a lot of the folks in this community and these communities have. But it's one where people are seeing what the benefits are and what the savings are. And they're, you know, they're sharing the news and they're talking about it with their neighbors, and businesses are talking about it with one another. And, you know, we're seeing also, you know, places of worship that are investing in solar and other renewable energy, you know, because that's another option for people, or for direct pay under the Inflation Reduction Act, that places of worship and other nonprofits are able to get rebates to make some of these kinds of upgrades. So, you know, I think we're just really seeing that ripple effect, which is really cool to know that folks are spreading the word with one another about the benefits of solar.
Well, let's look at some of the numbers here. They talked to one couple with a homeowner, and you know, they get right into the X's and O's here that installing the panels would cost about $32,000, but they would get $8,500 in income tax credits through a federal program that covers about a quarter of installation costs. But then, of course, you start to see a savings in your electric bill, you know, in all the months immediately after installation. But, you know, still, how long does it take to pay back? Well, the estimate is 9 to 12 years. But the panels are under warranty for 25 years. And so throughout the period, you're looking at saving $30,000 to $40,000 on your utility bills over the long haul for this thing. So, right, Melissa, I mean, there is an investment, but as there are more programs that help kind of, you know, reduce some of that upfront cost, people can see some serious savings over the lifetime of this project.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it's not just, you know, it's not just homeowners that are seeing those savings too. You know, it is local governments. In Shorewood, where I live, the village and also the school district have looked into solar whenever possible. We have solar panels on middle school and high school. And when some of the North Shore communities were renovating the fire station, which is right here in Shorewood, we're able to get solar panels on the fire station and get some federal incentives to do that. We, you know, see in other communities, like in Wauwatosa, they're able to get some solar panels there. And so has the library in Whitefish Bay. Some communities are around Milwaukee, you know, we talked to schools around the state that are leveraging the ability to install solar panels. And especially right now, when they're able to take advantage of rebates available under the Inflation Reduction Act, it makes it an even better deal for local governments, because they can save local taxpayer dollars. And then they're going to be able to save money on those utility bills moving forward. So it just really is an incredible opportunity. And, you know, it's just seeing more people doing it and, you know, having that opportunity to have the conversation and see that it's going to be a good investment that is holding up in Wisconsin, you know, because like we talked about at the top of the show, you know, some people over the years have been concerned, you know, oh, is this going to be a good technology for us in Wisconsin? It gets cold and it's not as sunny over the winter months. And now that they're seeing and getting that kind of, you know, direct confirmation from, you know, their neighbors, their, you know, fellow small business owners, other schools or other local governments that they work with, to be able to say, hey, yeah, no, we are using this technology and this works great, and this is actually saving us money. You know, that makes it a little bit easier for somebody else to say, maybe that's going to work for me too. Maybe that's going to work for my small business. Maybe that's going to work for my church. Maybe that's going to work for my community center because it works for somebody else. It works for another group that's like mine. So I think this is, one of those moments where people are going to continue to make those investments and they're going to continue to be interested and want to consider whether solar investment is going to be right for them. And I think that's right. An exciting time.
Yeah. I mean, the familiarity of having more and more neighbors add it just makes it seem less, exotic and unapproachable, but that it's there. The article here in the Journal Sentinel, thankfully, also points out, look, solar's not right for every home. It's not right for every building. And that, there are companies that are getting a bit more, the word they use here is salesy about it. And, to ask a lot of questions and make sure that it's right for you because, we don't want the enthusiasm about the potential of renewable energies distract from the fact that, not every company is going to treat, their customers exactly the same. So, still be an informed customer as you're going into this, whether as a homeowner or on behalf of a company or, some kind of a public or nonprofit entity.
Exactly. Folks should still do their homework to make sure they're educated about what they're getting into and using reputable contractors and checking those referrals and knowing that what they're getting into. But it is still a great opportunity for people to learn if this is going to be the right fit for them.
That's right. And there's no shortage of groups that have been promoting this and that you can contact, including the Midwest Renewable Energy Association and a nonprofit that helps property owners that are investigating and navigating the solar energy industry. Melissa Baldoff, thanks so much for helping us understand on a grand scale and down to the home level the potential for solar energy in this week's Climate Check. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
All right. When we come back, we will have today's history lesson and more on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Imagine being born with a voice like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not born like that, because if you...
That would be weird.
That would be really weird, but to realize at some point...
I'd like extra cheese on my Whopper.
At some point when you're like, hey... My voice is not like the others. I could do something with this.
He sounds like Caiaphas in Jesus Christ Superstar.
I don't know anything about Thurl Ravenscroft except that he did this, and I believe he was Tony the Tiger as well.
That's an amazing name, by the way.
I know.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yep. We're mentioning this, of course, because in today's history lesson, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas aired for the first time on this day in 1966 on CBS, featuring there the song by Thurl Ravenscroft and the voice of the Grinch, Boris Karloff. And Melissa Kay joins us as well WFHR, WIRI. You can catch her especially on Community Stories with Melissa Kay, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5.
It's live. I had my first live call-in show last night, Pat.
You had a live call-in show?
I did.
How'd it go?
I had my first heckler.
What?
I mean, he might have been like 9, but it was fun.
Wait a minute. You had a 9-year-old heckler?
Yeah. Well, the call-in show was for kids to call in with their Christmas wish lists.
And what did this little brat say?
I don't like you.
I don't like you?
Oh, my God.
I see, Greg, you were going to yell at me, but you're not going to now, are you? He was a little brat. So. Wow.
And then his younger brother called back in, and I talked to him off air, and he said, I just want to say I'm sorry. for my brother.
Oh.
And can my wish list still get to Santa?
Oh. And you said no. You're like, no, sorry, kid. No,
and that's when you said to the sibling, do not make this a life pattern of apologizing for your brother. He's gotta be, he makes his own choices. He must pay the penalties.
No, I did not have a mini counseling session with him, but it was very sweet.
That's lovely. Oh, that's so great.
It was fun. So we have another one on Thursday.
Okay.
5 to 6.
Good. Is that going to be live too?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Great opportunities here to chat with the one and only Melissa Kay. So.
Actually, elf, Miss Holly.
Oh, sorry, Miss Holly the Elf. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. We'll have a note about elves coming up in just a bit here. Back to the history lesson. Let's start with another tune. Let's go to 1961. The number one song this day was by a group called The Tokens. And you're welcome in advance for the earworm.
Yeah, great.
This isn't the worst one.
No.
So yeah, 1961, this was on top of the charts. We weren't really fully into the rock and roll era yet, were we? On this day in 1892 was the premiere of Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker in St. Petersburg, Russia.
And it's never stopped since.
Coincidentally, on the same day in 1892... Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards was born. Happy birthday, Keith. Oh, wait, no, it's actually 1943. He's 81.
Yeah. Still alive, people.
Still alive at 81. Doesn't that make you question your life choices? I think I denied myself too much stuff. Look at Keith Richards.
How much coffee are you drinking, Pat?
Coffee? Well, what are you talking
coffee?
About coffee?
We're talking about Keith Richards. There's no more coffee
last
in that
week
cup.
He said he had to cut back on his coffee.
It's a work in progress, Melissa. It's a work in progress. Like everything about me, it's a work in progress. United States House of Representatives on this day 5 years ago impeached Donald Trump for the first time.
For the first time.
And much like the Roadrunner in the cartoons, got away from Wile E. Coyote. This is the anniversary, the 54th anniversary of the birth of rapper DMX.
The most edited song I've ever heard in my life.
This is really, and we've had to edit a lot of songs. But DMX, Earl Simmons, was born in 1970, died in 2021 at the age of 50 after a rather up-and-down life, shall we say.
Yeah.
Comedian Ron White, one of my favorites, is 68 years old today. Brad Pitt is 61 years old today.
Really?
So I guess for him that would be, what, middle age? You know?
Melissa was like, really?
Really, yeah.
That was not the expression, Greg.
and now a couple of birthdays of some amazingly accomplished female singers. Christina Aguilera is 44 today. She won the Grammy for Best New Artist at the age of 19. She has sold over 100 million records worldwide. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
But then there's also this one. Billie Eilish. I'm not going to tell you how old she is first. Let's just play a little clip from Billie Eilish. It's her birthday today. So here's Billie Eilish's resume at this point. 9 Grammy Awards, 2 Golden Globes, 2 Academy Award Oscars. Today she turns 23. Now I'm questioning
nothing
everything
with my life.
Let's see. From Robin Tigerton says, good morning, Melissa. Merry Christmas. You look very beautiful as always.
Aw, thanks, Rob.
There you go.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Yeah. On the calendar today, this is National Bake Cookies Day. Ooh. This is International Migrants Day. And for whatever reason, this holiday includes today is Answer the Phone Like Buddy the Elf Day.
But that means I have to watch the movie.
Hey, wait a second, Melissa.
What? Wait, what?
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? Put that down.
See, that's all you got to do. Just, okay, just ask people their favorite color when you pick up the phone.
Yeah.
What's your favorite color?
Melissa Kay, thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing you on Thursday for Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too. More in the second hour of Up North News Radio next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.